Would you please stretch your faith this way and pray for me? I would so much appreciate it. Father, I love you and I love them and I praise you for your grace. We know nothing of ourselves, and anything that we do know of ourselves, we're praying that you'll purge from us and take us into the holy place. I receive their prayers for me as I also pray for them. The God of all truth, graciousness, and life would add the grace, add wisdom to our hearts. Let us hear only what he says. The power of the Holy Spirit to edify and exemplify Jesus in our life. I receive your grace and peace. Thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have biker people in our midst. I hope nobody's scared. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. David had a big one. He may get another one day. Hallelujah. There's a lot of ministry that goes on that people are not aware of, but please be in prayer for one another. Lift each other up. As you're praying in the Holy Ghost, he'll take you out in seasons and he'll put people in front of you. Sometimes it's just good to go through a list. Hallelujah. Pray for all the intercessors. Pray for that secret order of entrepreneurship, the simplicity of giving. Hallelujah. And you say, well, why you call it a secret? It's not really. It's one of the eight operations of the gift of Christ. It's a secret in this. It goes out. It's called in one place in 1 Corinthians 12:28. It's a ministry of helps. And then in Romans 12, it's called the simplicity of giving. And the simplicity of it is that it takes no fanfare. It really rather just supply a whole kind of massive juggernaut of a machine going down the road. I'm talking about it just like to supply millions and never get its name mentioned. Never. And it has a capacity in it to go to where his heart is that's like a gift. You know what a gift is? A gift just leaves you. A gift, the true meaning of a gift is it leaves you. You have no ownership of it anymore. You give it, you say, I don't really, he told me, I do what he says. And I don't have to say where it goes, what happens to it. I know it's going to win souls. Hallelujah. That's the simplicity of giving. And those kind of gals and guys, they beg for a James Bond kind of alias, kind of life. They really don't want nobody, they know that the Lamb knows, and that's all that matters. Hallelujah. Pray for our sound people. Pray for all those wonderful, wonderful ladies and teenagers that have been looked over by the ladies and that are ministering to our kids next door. Pray for one another. Pray often. Lift up each other. Hallelujah. Because we're all going forward for a purpose. Immokalee is in revival. Hallelujah. I'm just glad I know you. Because some of you will go on to do exploits, major exploits, because you can't join yourself to him and desire his best, that he won't come and join his best to you, and his best gets on you. We go through a little fight every once in a while going to that place, but we win. Hallelujah. We win. And guess what? You just don't know. You can't hardly imagine that somebody that you know, this is where it's hard, you can't hardly imagine that somebody that you know knows as much as somebody you don't know. Like somebody you're watching on TV or somebody that's unknown to you. It's hard for your mind to gather that because, see, you know them. You know them, and so if you know them, you probably know everything they know. But guess what? A lot of you are going to turn around and say, my God, I knew them when. And I'm so thankful that I knew them. And I honored their gift and call and kept praying for them because, my God, I didn't know that they knew and that He had His hand on their life like He's got His hand on people that I respect in other places. Hallelujah. So I'm saying greatness is among us. Let's honor one another. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I want you to turn with me. Something kicked in the other day and it was really strong. It was really beautiful. It was very liberating. 1 Corinthians, I believe, he's going to let me teach a little bit. Hallelujah. Jason Hamlin is coming. I was looking up here earlier. Kathy always has me a card here, and I think I stole it and lost it. But when is he coming, Kathy? The what? 27th through the 30th. And somebody up here was already ahead of us of March. Hallelujah. So we had a good time last year. We want to help support his ministry because he's feeding a lot of people. Thousands and thousands of people he's feeding on a monthly basis, and that's a good thing. Hallelujah. That's a really good thing. So be in prayer over that. That's coming up real quick. And I think sometime in the not too distant future that we're going to get that guy named Gary Carpenter down here. He's told me that his dad just passed away, and so that's a chapter of his life that's just closed, and he was really having to take care of him for a long time. So he said, let me get things settled with Mama, and I'll be letting you know about my calendar. I'll check in the calendar. So we'll enjoy that, won't we? Hallelujah. Glory. So 1 Corinthians 1, I'll just read some of it here, and we'll probably read quite a bit and move along as the Holy Spirit. I remember a book. I don't remember everything about it. I remember the title mostly. It was by Frank Tillipaw, and it was called The Church Unleashed. And if there's ever a thing, anything that I want to be part of, it's a part of a church that is unleashed to do the works of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And to go out into the highways and byways. You see, you pray, and I know that you do, because I can only testify my life, and a lot of times I'll talk about me praying, but I'm not epitomizing myself. I'm just saying that I know myself, and I'm praying. So when I'm walking, sometimes I'll slip out of there and walk up and down here and pray, release His grace, maybe touch the chairs and stuff. He is, He's coming like we've never known Him to come before. And He's invited to come. And He's invited to turn things upside down. And He's invited to come in every way that He wants to. He's invited to come in every unorthodox, not according to man, not according to our agenda, but according to His wisdom, His grace, and His power. Hallelujah. That His glory can be seen. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I like that. So we unleash You, Father. If there's anything that you've ever enjoyed most is when people allow you to come and be God. So come in the silence, come in the noise, come in the shout, come in the dance, come in the stillness. Father, come in every possible way that You can come. Thy kingdom come. Oh, save the lost. Save, Lord God, and use us as instruments of grace and glory, Lord God. There will be no big among us. There will be no small among us. But we will be brothers and sisters in the Lord, sharing this value that we share, Lord, that we are preparing a bride that is chaste, pure in heart, looking what parts of us are like those virgins that are asleep and have not yet prepared. Oh, Father, wake us up. Wake up the virgins that are asleep and have no oil, and they have no wine. Lord, I pray that you will open up our hearts. Stir us in this last hour. Stir us, Lord, that we hear the voice of the bridegroom, that we hear him before he is coming. He's speaking even now. His voice is going out from the throne even now. Oh, Father, I thank you and I praise you. I release life. I release grace. Wake us up, Lord. Release your great grace over us that we may hear and see and know and understand. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is an interesting book, as all of the Word of God is. Paul is writing. It's interesting to me because over in chapter 3, he talks about that he cannot, and we will read that, speak to them as mature because they could only receive the milk. And so what you receive from chapter 3 is you have an indication there that Paul is saying, look, because you are not, because there's a carnality that still runs in your thought process, I really can't get into the depth of everything I want to say. So once you conclude that, you look at this book and you say, my God, even at the depth that we're looking at it at, where people are still having a hard time digesting it, that Paul is actually saying, I wrote this to babies. I'd really like to write some real mature stuff. And to us, it's incredible because we don't even see most of the church working at it. I mean, by the time he gets to chapter 5, he's doing real bizarre things. He's walking in so much love and so much compassion that, I mean, this blows me away. And I'm not even attesting to being there. I'm just saying it blows me away. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around it, that somebody walks in enough authority. I mean, people can say they do. But the transverse of it is the passion and the love that you walk in for people that gives you some kind of authority in Christ to say the things that Paul said in chapter 5. There was a man in the church. He had his father's wife. You know, I hope to God it was his stepmother. And this man was sitting on, I'm just paraphrasing. It wasn't, you know, I'm not telling you that this is in Scripture, but you have to, if you read between the lines, you know what's happening. The guy was on one side of the church. This other couple was on the other side. And Paul basically said, this thing is leavening the church. And the reason why it was leavening the church is because the pastors or the eldership was, it's one thing for the world to come in. My God, we are inviting them in. We're inviting them in. Here's where you have to understand the wisdom of God. And they're going to come in with all, draped all over them, all kinds of things that we're going to have to patiently wait for their transition and their transformation. But this one particular guy evidently had been in the church long enough that he knew the message, he understood the message, and the rest of the church was embracing him as if everything was just... Oh, the only way I can say it is, He must have been part of, he could have been, taking up the offering, you know, singing in the choir, backyard barbecues. And Paul actually said, look, you're going to have to judge this guy. And he says, you have to judge him. But he said, look, I've already done it. You can enter into it. He said, I have turned him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his soul is saved in the Lord's day. And what he was saying was this, I have delivered him over. How does that work, Pastor? I don't know. I've never done it. I don't attest to being there. All I know is it takes an extreme amount of love. Paul saw this guy. He said, and Paul went on to say, I'm not saying do this. He told the church, he said, separate yourself from that man so that man will be ashamed. And in his shame, he will repent and come back and be a part of what he knows to be truth. But he says, until then, now this was the essence of it, I have turned his body over to Satan, which means what? if there's not enough, if there wasn't enough judgment going on in the church, in other words, people weren't not shaming the person, but a brother didn't take him aside and say, look, I love you enough to tell you this, you can't do this. This is your father's wife. Now you can go get another woman and you guys can go enter a holy matrimony, but you can't have your father's wife. And it, Paul said it was leavening the church. In other words, if that seed got in there and it was not judged, after a while the standard would go to God only knows where. Who knows where the standard would go? And Paul said, you know what, I've judged him and what I've done in love so that he doesn't go to hell. I've turned his body over to the destruction of the flesh. Which, what does that mean, Pastor? It meant that the enemy had, now this is amazing. This is where it's so amazing to me. This wasn't witchcraft. This was a godly, sincere desire for man looking at another man and saying, that man's going to destroy his life, and he's also, more importantly, going to destroy the atmosphere of the church. And Paul went on to say this, you can't do this with people that are in the world. He said, when I told you not to keep company with fornicators, I wasn't talking about, and he specifically said, I wasn't talking about those that are in the world, because otherwise, and I'm speaking this in essence, this is not verbatim, we could read it, this is not the message, but he said, you would have to go out of the world to do that. In other words, you couldn't live on this planet because you have to work with people that are doing all that. And you know what? God loves them just like he loves you. And the Bible says he reigns on the just and he reigns on the unjust. In other words, those that are out there in fornication and adultery and in lasciviousness and, you know, bar hopping and all that, he loves them like he loves us. And here's the amazing part that blows my mind. The Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust. The rain that he was talking about there was the rain that falls on the fields and blesses them. The Heavenly Father will bless the unjust. You know, one of the reasons why he blesses the unjust is because the sheaves, which we are, the wheat, were sown among the tares. And the Father loves them like he loves us, and he wants to bless them so that, you know, we. The one thing we got to know this is, we may be the church, but we're not arrogantly the church. We are the church that is to be released upon all mankind and say, my Father wants to love you. He wants to save you like he saved me. And we are blessed knowing this. If God took away his blessings, did you know if God took away his blessings from the unjust, most of you, I mean, if God just dropped all of his blessings and said, no more unjust man will be blessed. He will be broke today. It's starting at 12 o'clock. Most of you wouldn't get a paycheck. Most of you wouldn't get a paycheck. You know, well, my God will. No, listen, we are sown among the sheep, the tares. But God loves them just as much. And Paul said, you can't, he said, you can have buddies in the world. I mean, they're not going to be your best friends, but you can have buddies in the world. They're beer drinking, you know, bar hopping guys that you can eat lunch with and you can have. But when it comes to brethren in the Lord, he said, when he gets to like chapter 7, he's teaching all this stuff, and he's telling him, look, when it comes to brethren in the Lord, you've got to let them know this is not what you were saved for. You were saved out of this. And Paul says, I have delivered this man over to the destruction of the flesh. What does that mean? The enemy was then allowed, based on Paul's authority of love, to go in, and this is amazing, infect this man's body, so that a small, slow-growing something of some order. Now, God's not in sickness. In fact, God couldn't even do it. God had to actually have a man say, I'm taking my covering off. This guy is already, he wasn't saying I'm taking my covering off. The guy was already outside of his covering. And God was just recognizing it. And God wanted the church to see that he was recognizing it. So something like a cancer, a virus that eats the body came in and began. But guess what? By the time you get to 2 Corinthians, Paul said, that which was levied on this man, it's complete. Now restore that one. Hallelujah. It worked. It worked. Now, Pastor, are we headed that way? Listen, I'm telling you, we don't know where we're headed. But we do know this, the entrance into all those things is love, 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 love. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I don't know why I went into all that part, because that's not even where we're at. I just wanted to say is that's meat. I mean, that's to me real. I have to sit, and that's heavy stuff. I mean, it's really nothing I won't even get involved with, to tell you the truth. I don't find pleasure in thinking about having to do anything like that. And yet Paul says in chapter 3, what I'm about to teach you, it's all just milk. Now, that makes me think, oh God, where are we at? Or where am I at? Let me put it in my perspective. Let's look at chapter 1 together, can we? Hallelujah. Josiah, hallelujah. It's just anointed, isn't it? Josiah. Let me just read a lot and then you just follow along. If I get a little bit quick in it, forgive me. If I stutter a little bit in it, forgive me, because we're headed towards chapter 3. Verse 1, chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that is in every place, called upon in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in utterance. Look how this church was powerful. It was, utterance means, you know, praying in tongues and the manifestations of the Spirit, and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you become behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in gifts, they were abundant. I mean, it was powerful. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Hallelujah. And that there be no divisions. Now, divisions here is very important, because they're going to talk about this two or three times. And this is the first place he mentions it, that there was divisions among them. Because that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you by my brethren, by them that which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And I'll bet you that this guy, this household of Chloe, I bet they wrote back to Paul later and say, hey man, why did you finger us? I mean, couldn't you just said, I picked it up in the spirit, or I've heard that there were, I mean, because after you told who's been talking to the pastor, it was a price to pay, you know, maybe not, but I'm just kidding here. But really, he mentions where he got his information about. And this I say, every one of you saith. Now, this was the contention. Here it was. Then he says, this is what's going on in the church at Corinth. I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. Now, Apollos was a great man historically. We understand that he traveled some with Paul. He was a great, one of the things that was known about Apollos is he was a great orator. He was a tremendous, tremendous speaker. I mean, he could speak, and we don't have any, I mean, there were probably other writings, but none of them became the canon of Scripture. That does not mean God, you know, forbade this man as far as putting him aside. Obviously, his name was mentioned. He must have been a great, great man of God. And we do know this historically by other writings that surround the Word of God, that this man was a great speaker. I mean, he could swoo. I mean, God worked in him in speaking, and he's very powerful. But he says this, in this division, some are saying, I am of Paul. Others are saying, I am of Apollos. And I am Cephas. Cephas was Peter, which was the head. He and James shared the dual headship of the Jerusalem church. And so Cephas, Peter, one of the 12, is acknowledged here. And he said, and others say, I am of Christ. Now, let me just stop right there and just give you a brief synopsis of what is taking place here. And I wish you could listen to all of Rick Renner's, I mean, because he goes into the historical values of this and is very powerful. There was different factions that were coming up, and it was amazing. These people were, you know, in the spirit, they had gifts, they had everything, and Paul said, look, there is a there's a division taking place, and the division took place was that there was camps inside of this big church. There were some who were taking this issue, and they were saying, I am receiving my revelation and my impartation from Paul. And others were saying, look, Paul is great, but if you want to hear somebody that can really speak, his name is Apollos. And so what we're getting ours from Apollos. Others were saying Cephas or Peter, I like a man that knows how to just speak his mind and is bold and it goes forward. And man, I bet you picked this up if you ever were able to listen to those historical values by Rick Renner. Cephas walked with him. Did Paul walk? No. Did Apollos? No. Cephas knows this guy. So we're getting first. And Rick says that there was so much of these factions that were taking place, and they were throwing out their cards on each other. Well, I'm of this, I'm of that, I'm of this. My revelation came from. And then there was another group that said, look, we're going to blow you all out. You think you got some preachers? We are of Christ. We get firsthand info from him, and so whatever you guys think you're getting from these other guys, we are of Christ. Our info comes from him. So there was trump card after trump card. Everybody was playing their trump card, and this was amazing. He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest any of you should say that I am baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanas. Besides, he says, I can't even remember. I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, this is interesting here. I believe in baptism. And I'll tell you what, we found a pool to baptize you in. And that's great. And I love it. And I love it. And I'm going to be listening to some good stuff that Pastor Jim Martin's got. I bet he's got some fantastic stuff. I already know some stuff that the Holy Spirit's given me. But you also understand this. The thief on the cross was not baptized to make heaven. He died, went to paradise with Christ. If we're going to teach on baptism, so I don't want to take anything away from it, but I want to tell you, if you've not been baptized with water, you are born again. If you accepted the blood of Jesus, and the foundation is fully yours, it's going to be a blessing. But even Paul said, look, my priority call in life was not to go around and baptize people with water. My call was to preach the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So you have to understand that. So that's a good footnote to put in here. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. For as written, I will destroy the wisdom. Now watch this. This is very important. Stay with me, because it's important that you get this, because later he's going to mention this about the wisdom of the wise, and he's going to qualify how important it is that who you're listening to is understanding that there was no wisdom that comes except the wisdom that comes from him. Hallelujah. And that applies to Bronk Flint. That applies to any good person. That applies to anybody. That there's only one wisdom, and that wisdom comes from above. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? Made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, knew not God, it pleased God by foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews, he said, you know, I came out of Judaism because the Jews, they require a sign. In other words, convince us by a sign. And the Greeks, us Gentiles, or the mindset of the day, which that real high intellect, they require wisdom. In other words, and Paul, one time, he just proved to himself when he got on Mars Hill in the book of Acts, and he was a brilliant man, and he started disputing with them out of intellect. And he was probably anointed too, but he was using a high IQ, and it just didn't go anyplace. It didn't go anyplace. In other words, you can't win people with just an IQ. You have to win them with the power of God and the wisdom of God. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, to an intellect, blood, cross, eternity? What are you guys to a high-tech intellectual that goes to, I can't think of the, yeah, MIT? Yeah, I've been there. I came right out of Boston, went right by there. I mean, they helped develop the atom bomb there. And, you know, and that doesn't make sense. The preaching of the gospel is foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, which have heard the call, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling. Notice this, brethren, that they that are, that, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things, which is the cross and the empty tomb and the blood of Jesus, these things which are despised has God chosen, yes, and things that are not, to bring up naught those things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And everybody said amen to that. But of him are ye in Christ, whom God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, now this Paul's own, this is where Paul differed from Apollos. He said, I came to you not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you, and I don't know exactly where he describes this at as far as what he was talking about, but he said, in other words, he had no dependency. He couldn't, he didn't know how to put this foundation under him. He didn't know what to do. He was weak in the flesh. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. In other words, I was ashamed of it. I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed by it. I can't present myself. I'm not a great orator. But here's what it rested upon. He said, it was in the demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Hallelujah. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And howbeit we speak the wisdom of God among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, but the prince of this world. Nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Now we could go on. Let me go on to the end of this chapter here. He talks about where he gets his wisdom. And his wisdom comes with the words which not man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. In other words, the Holy Ghost has a language, and the Holy Ghost speaks that language to our hearts. And the Holy Ghost compares what's in the Word to what's in our born-again nature and grows us up by this comparison of looking into the mirror of his Word and taking the revelation of God's truth and saying, this is who you are. Do you receive it? Yes, sir, I receive it. Now, he can do this two ways. He can do it by the teaching and preaching of men and women. He can also do it as you are supposed to take this word of yourself and grow yourself up. And those two compare as one. Those two come together as one. And the Holy Spirit speaks in both. But in chapter 3 in verse 1, he goes back to this talking about what he's trying to dissolve and solve in these first few chapters of First Corinthians. He says, brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal. Why? He says, even as unto babes, I fed you with milk and not with meat. Hitherto you're not able to bear it. He says, neither were you able, for you're carnal. And why? As I said before, why? Again, he said, because there's envy, strife, divisions, and carnality among you, and you walk as men. And again, he repeats what he did in the chapter 1. He tells them why this division is taking place and why this carnality is there. He says, for while one saith, I'm of Paul, another says, I'm of Apollos. He says, that's carnal. That's carnal. He says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, and Paulos. And it just so happens, and Paul's going to talk about his fatherhood to this church. Well, this is, Paul may not have been able to make this claim in every church, but Paul really did come into the Corinthian church. He laid a foundation which no other man had laid as of yet, and that foundation he later pronounces is Jesus Christ. And that's the foundation for every church. That's the foundation for the Galatians. That's the foundations for the Ephesians. That's the foundations for the Philippians. That's the foundation for the church here at Immokalee. That's the church. We are a church, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is this. He is that foundation. Hallelujah. And so Paul says here, you know, what are we? What is Apollos? What is Paul? He says, Apollos watered. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything. You know what? I did it. I planted, but what am I? Neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers. Now he mentions two things here. He says, we, me and Apollos and Cephas and all of us, we are laborers together with God. And I want to tell you something. You are God's two things about this. This is how God looks at you. You are God's husbandry, which you are his vineyard, and you are his temple. God's going to talk to you about his vineyard, and he's going to talk to you about his temple. In other words, you are his building, which is, he later mentions, the same thing being the temple of God. Hallelujah. Everybody with me? Okay. He says, Okay, what verse were we in? 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as Paul says and refers to himself as a wise master builder. This is what I did, Corinthians, when I came in. This is the time I spent. This is everything I've done for you as a father. I have built a laid a foundation, and another buildeth their own. Now, he's not condemning that. He's just saying, but let every man take heed to how he builds their own. For other foundation can no man lay other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul's not saying I'm the first guy ever to be able to preach the gospel. He was saying, I got to you first. I laid this foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter who comes after me. I don't get a bigger reward. But if it's Apollos, if it's Cephas, if it's anybody that you haven't heard of, that I haven't heard of, understand this. It's all about Jesus. And he says, no man can come in and lay any other foundation than that. That's it. That's the foundation, Jesus Christ. Now, if any man does this, if he builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, bull, or stubble. Now, he names there's going to be a lot of different things that are going to come. And he's not condemning them all. But these gold, wood, hay, stubble, all that is teachings and introductions on top of whatever we put on Jesus Christ. Now, gold and precious stone, those are symbolized of good things, valuable teachings, powerful things in the Word of God. So he's not condemning that. He's not saying everybody that comes after me can't equate to me. He's saying, but here's what it is. It's Jesus Christ. So let's add to this. Let's put something on this foundation. Let's go where we've never been before, but let's also understand this. Nobody can go any deeper than his name, which is Jesus. Hallelujah. And you can add gold to it. You can add precious stone to it. You can say this comes out of him. But watch out about hay and stubble and wood. And that goes back to man's ideas when we read in first chapter where he says, who are the wise of this world? When the wise of this world try to take their intellectualism into, or their guesswork into, or their hypotheses into, or try to take their good measures into the church and to doctrine, God calls it wood, hay, and stubble. It doesn't work. It really doesn't work. Hallelujah. Every man, and this is primarily, now you're going to enter into this in a few moments, but primarily this is to me and to other fivefold calls out there which teach the Word of God. When he says every man, he's talking about the ministry, every man's work. Work on what? Adding precious stone, and then, God forbid, the wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be manifest. In other words, it's going to be revealed. For the day shall declare it. What day? The day that we're all going to stand before the Lord. Because it shall be revealed as by fire. In other words, a consuming fire is going to come out. I don't know how that. I may have described it. I really don't know exactly how that works. I do know that the Word says that fire will come out of him and it will consume. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort. What work? The work of whatever he's built, whatever his doctrine has been, whatever he's added to Jesus Christ. You say, well, you can't add anything to him. No, I'm talking about building on top of him. But whatever that is, that work is going to be tried as by fire of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Oh God, I'm praying, I'm hoping, and I'm believing that I receive a reward. And I believe that you receive one with me. If any man's work, look at verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, it's not talking about eternal damnation or judgment. He's talking about if any man's work shall be burned, this man's already there. You're already there. Teacher, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. He says, if any man suffer loss, he himself shall be saved, yet as so as by fire. In other words, the purging there is not a purging unto eternal damnation. The purging there is a trying of what did you do with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you build wood, hay, and stubble? Did you build on the wisdom of man? Did you try to carry anything over to incite a crowd or to build an offering to say, okay, this is a, Lord, help me to be kind here, but nevertheless, to teach it by example. Did you build an offering like, okay, this is a breakthrough offering. This offering will break through for you. If you've given this offering is a special day. Listen, there's no more, there is no, in God's economy in the New Testament, one offering to God is the same as any other. It is of your heart. And if any man, because it sounds good, this Sunday God told me this is the new year, we're going to break through, and my God, you're going to financially be blessed because the Holy Ghost and angels have come in here to make this a very special anointing. And if you give in this anointing is going to break through for you. In all politeness, hogwash. Man's ideas. Man's good, but it incites the crowd. We are ambassadors. The widow's mite speaks. The love of Christ in us speaks volumes through every offering. There's none higher, greater. It's all Christ. And it's all an expression of worship. That's all it is, an expression of worship. He says, know this, it's going to be tried as by fire. Preachers, thanks a lot, God. But know you not that. And then he goes back and he says, remember he said you're the building? Now he's going to mention you're the temple. Now there is a scripture that says that you're the temple of God and the Holy Ghost dwells in you. But this is not what it's talking about. It's not talking about smoking and drinking and girls going with girls that do, you know, smoke and drink. I want to clarify that. This is the temple of God when he's talking about doctrine here and what you receive and what you believe. He says here, if any man defile the temple of God, in other words, if he teaches so much that he defiles it and destroys it, if he destroys that foundation of Jesus Christ, which no man can add to, he said, then God will destroy him. Now this is talking about some very serious stuff here. For the temple of God is holy, and you are his temple. In other words, preachers, you better watch what you're giving to people. I can't tell you. Please pray for me because. And I pray that I do not, and God give me grace, that I do not exalt myself even in speaking humility. But I will ask you this, continually pray for your pastor. It is a very important thing to me as I labor over these scriptures weekly. I'm praying over them in the Holy Ghost. I know most of them come from a long line of foundation. But I don't just jump up, pick a scripture and say, I'm going to go and cite the people that. Why? Because whatever I'm giving you is supposed to be part of your strength and part of your foundation. Now, every one of us touch each other. We can say we're islands or we're our own individual, but we are. But we are also affected by each other in a good way. Matt has said some things to me as friends that have affected me. Gary said some things to me. Kathy has said some things. My mom has instilled great things to me. We're all part and partisan to each other. We rub off on each other. In fact, Jesus said it like this. And you can't go past the wisdom of God, of Jesus Christ. We all know that. He said in two places. He said in Matthew, and he also said in Luke. He said, the disciple will not be above his master. He said it in another place. He said, or you can break it down like this. The student, this is in vernacular, the student will not be above his teacher. But those that will be perfected by him will be like him, or those that will be like him will be perfected by him. In other words, whoever you listen to, and this is why we have a grave responsibility, you will eventually be affected by them. You can set your will. You can say, I'm not going to be affected by this person. Do you know if you listen to somebody six times in a row, and I'm saying that's great, if they're a God sent, they're beginning to bend and affect your mind. Because Jesus said this, you can't, just like your kids grow up underneath, they may be individuals, but you're also going to affect them. You could say, this is where I take a little exception, but I don't say anything. You know, I've got past, by the grace of God, some of those arguments. People will say, well, I'm going to stay in the church I'm at, but it is dead, dead, dead. And they teach terrible, terrible doctrine. But I'm just going to stay there and preach. Do you know they can, if they keep praying and keep praying in the Holy Ghost, God will kind of keep them in a place, but they cannot stay in that place based on what Jesus said and not be affected by it. In other words, it is going to bleed into their thought processes in some way, because Jesus said, whatever, you can't rise above your teacher. In other words, this is psychology, but it's also a divine psychology. He says, whoever you hear, no, you can set your, Jesus said, you can set your will against it and say, I'm not going to be like them. But he says, if you keep hearing them, a lot of what they believe and say is going to bleed over into you. And that's just the way it is. I mean, you can't, and the only way you can do that is come out of it and say, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? So he says here, if any man defile the temple, him will God destroy. For the temple of God, you're his temple. Let no man deceive himself. Let any man among you seem to be wise. In other words, if he wants to be a teacher, he wants to exhort, he wants to give. He says, if he be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be really wise unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, you got to lay that stuff down and listen to God. Are you perfected in it, Pastor? Oh, man, I just didn't have nobody to preach this morning. I could be sitting up here listening to myself. But isn't that wonderful? For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are what? Vain. They're vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Now, I love this part. This is one part that just exploded in my spirit the other day, and it was just wonderful. It's just a good thing, because I remember that book title, although I don't remember the book. I don't even know if I finished it, but it was The Church Unleashed, and I said, God, this is what Paul was saying. This is everything that we are in Christ, and this is where Paul combats this, and this is the wisdom of God to combat this when he said, what are you doing? Why are you fighting over Paul? Why are you fighting over Cephas? Why are you fighting over Apollos? And he says these tremendous, gigantic words. He said, for all things are yours. All things are yours. Whether they're Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. Again, I say all things are yours. Hallelujah. In other words, every ministry that will teach you how to grow in God is yours. It's yours. Pastor, yes. Am I ever at odds with you in the least of the way or the ministry if I'm enjoying other ministries? All things are yours. All things are yours. They've been given to you to grow, to manifest the love and the life of God. What if it's not in the people that you mentioned that you normally get yours from? All things are yours. All things are yours. Hallelujah to God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Because he says, you're Christ. And Christ is God's. Now, he did, and I didn't set you up either, because I meant every single word of that, and you felt the depth of my heart in that. But Paul could say that. Why could Paul say that? He was saying this. Know this, every man's work is going to be tried. And if you've entered into that work, know that you are also trying that work as well. Because if you build, if you let another man build or anybody build wood, hay, or stubble in your life, when that guy's work passes away, that'll pass away with you too. So you got to be trying the works. You got to be trying the message. You got to be trying the doctrine. Now, what does that mean? Does that apply to you? That applies to me too. But what I have done to the best of my ability, I have tried to equip you to be able, see, something is dreadfully wrong, and I don't believe that's here, but something be dreadfully wrong with you if 2 years you're trying to decide if we've got a foundation here. It's something be dreadfully wrong if you're trying to decide, does praying in tongues really, is it really for today? Is praying in tongues, will praying in tongues really? Now, Christ is the foundation. Now, one of the things that we've, some of the precious gold that we've put on that foundation is the doctrine of mortification and illumination, which is praying in tongues. And if 2 years later you're trying to figure out whether, well, I don't know if that really is everything it's supposed to be, then something's dreadfully wrong. In other words, what I'm saying by that is you don't have to try when you're underneath those that you've trusted, whether it's here or other places. You don't have to every time go to a place where you go all the way back to the foundation and say, I'm going to try this foundation again. At some point you should have grown past that and says, okay, God, you've forever sealed that. Now I can look at individual messages. I can look at other things that are going on that. I can look at gold. I can look at silver. I can look what quality. Is there a little bit of stubble in that? I don't know. Let me keep praying, Father. Let me keep praying. Let me keep understanding. But the foundation is sure. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Safe. We're safe. Now look what he says here. Oh, and then here I get to kind of teach and kind of get to expose my heart. And you get to go, oh. Let a man so account us. Paul said us, Paul, Apollos, Cephas, as the ministers of God and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required. Here's my requirement in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now see, this is the part that I know that you understand. I'm not just patronizing you. I believe that you believe this. Those of you that follow and go forward with us. You believe that for me, this is very serious. But it is not serious as in care. It's very serious in the sobriety of Christ, that what I deliver to you must be pure. And I know this, if there's anything impure, it just keeps being perfected, screened through the Holy Spirit as we go forward in Christ. But when Paul was identified, he was saying, look, I said all this to say to you this. Everything's yours. Run, but also judge. Because in the end, wood, hay, and stubble is not going to stand. And I, Paul, I, Cephas, I, Apollos, we are stewards, and we must be required of God to be accountable. So this is what I say is, as you go forward, as it is convenient, not as it is required, but as it is convenient for you to enjoy all things that are yours, communicate. Communicate. Give back to your pastor. Why? Because I can tell you this. Those of you that are moms and dads, now this part you'll never get out of me. And this part doesn't have to be as imperfected, like pulled out, like wrenched out by the Holy Spirit. As moms and dads, and if you're not a mom and dad, even if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know the heart of mom. Some of you have raised kids in your home. You know that you want the best for them. And you know if there are, let me say it like this, is not. Let me put it way out extreme, not that this is even close to anything that's going on around here, but if your daughter brings in a Charlie Manson and puts him on the couch and says, we're going to start dating, you say, can I get some info on this? Will you share with me why he is more than what I can see presently? And then after you share with me, we both might be real happy about this. What I'm saying is the heart of the father, as fathers and mothers, you most of the time, and this is what 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24 says, not that we have dominion over your faith. Not dominion over your faith, that we lord over you, but we are helpers of your joy. I don't have to know anything about where you're receiving, what you're getting. That's not required. But as a helper and as one that is praying for you and laboring for you and covering you in the Spirit, please, as you receive, help me also to grow up and go forward and receive in this big house called the Father's house. Hallelujah. Because I have a requirement of my Father. I have to labor over you, and it's a joy. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? But watch this. This is literal. I needed a cue card here. I needed something. He said this. I don't need all that. He said, but with me it is a very small thing that I am judged of you, or man's judgment. Yea, I judge not myself. Now, literally, all the way back to chapter 1, they were judging Paul and Apollos and Cephas, and they had, not literally, but figuratively, they had scorecards. What do you think about him? I'll give him a 10 for a speaker, but his revelation kind of goes down on this. Apollos. Well, let's see. Apollos, great speaker, but he's short on the power, a little bit short on the power, okay? And they were judging. Who do you like best? I don't know. How do you? Oh, there's a no-name coming up here. I really like him. Paul says, look, you know what? It is a small thing, Corinthian church, and this is literally what he was saying. It's a small thing that I'm judged of you, or of man's judgment. He goes, I don't even judge my own self. And he wasn't talking about judgment as in sin. He was keeping in context. In other words, how big a preacher I am, what I know, how far I've advanced. I don't know, and I don't want to know, because all I want to do is keep my face to the ground plowing and keep going forward, and in the end, he'll show me what I am. That's all he was saying. He said, therefore, let no, he said, for I know nothing of myself. I don't judge myself, because he said, but for I know nothing by myself, yet I'm hereby justified. In other words, here's how I have a good conscience, and this is what justifies me. He that judges me, he that keeps the scorecard on me is the Lord. Isn't that great? Therefore, judge nothing before it's time. When's the time? After the service? No, at the end of this life. Until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And this is where he gets really, 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 really deep here. Because he said, in the end, it's all going to come down to the counsels of the heart. But he doesn't get pessimistic here. He said, then will every man have praise of God. But what he's saying is this, it's not just what you teach, it's why you teach what you teach. What is your motivation? Why do you want a big ministry? Because souls get saved. Why would you want to do that? It's not, the end does not justify the means. He's saying, look, in the end, he's not only going to look at why you had a mega ministry, he's going to look at that you had a mega ministry, he's going to say, why did you have it? And I'll bet you there'll be a bunch of them that'll stand tall and be good and be blessed. Because he said, every man will then have his praise of God. And these things, brethren, watch this. I have in a figure, that is revelation, I have in a revelation what is in me, I've transferred to myself. I've reminded Paul, listen to me, Paul. Understand this. Remind yourself constantly of it. And he said, I've also talked to Apollos about this. Me and Apollos have had this same conversation, and I've transferred this revelation that I have concerning these things, I've transferred it over to Apollos for your sakes. That you might learn in us by way of example, watching us, our humility, and Paul saying, look, everybody's yours. You think you got to get it from Paul? Everybody's yours. He says, I've transferred this to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you is puffed up for one against another. For what sake? I've transferred this that Apollos, let me read that again because I muddied it. 6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Hallelujah. Now, what does that mean? Puffed up. You ever seen a bullfrog? Those blowfish. I've pulled those blowfish up before. My God, I got a big fish. And when the air goes out of them, it's a little tiny thing like this. You can't cook them. They got puffed up. And the puffed up was who they thought they were getting something from. How'd I get this? Okay. Look at them. Look at them. Those poor, naive creatures. Do they know that we've been listening to Paul? And if they knew what we knew, they would have an inside track with God. They can't move any further because, and the ones that were over Apollos' camp, they were saying, they were puffed up. We've been listening to Apollos' website. We've been listening to Pastor Bronk's website, and we know something that you do not know. And because we know something that you do not know, you're misfortunate. Paul said, it's all yours. And there's no camps. It's just all yours. Glory be to God. It takes the puff out of it. Because knowledge brings a puff. But love says, oh God, teach me. And oh, if you've got something to teach me, teach me. But also know that I've got a responsibility to look at it and pray. And there's a teacher called the Holy Ghost, and he'll confirm it to me if it's his word. Hallelujah to God. He says this, verse 7, who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou did not receive it? In other words, nobody with... I've been fat on revelation before, and I've been walking around saying, I want to give you something, I got to tell you something. And that's good. That's good. But where did I get it from? I can't glory in it like I got it myself. He says, look, he said to the Corinthians, he said, why are you acting, if you've got something, why are you acting like you got this yourself? And it originated from you. He said, if it didn't come from you, why are you acting like it came from you? Because all things come from someplace else. Every preacher gets their ministry from Paul or from someplace in David or Solomon. Everything comes, but it all comes by the Holy Ghost. And so we have no ownership. There are no copyrights in the kingdom of God. It's spiritual copyrights where you say, this is copyrighted by this ministry and it's supposed to stay here. I say, all is yours. Hallelujah to God. Glory be to God. Isn't that wonderful? Now are you full? Verse 8. You're rich in word, doctrine, speech, and power. You reign as kings without us. And I would to God that you did reign. And that you might also reign, and that we might also reign with you. For I thank God. Now, here's two things. I will say this. And again, I just release you. But understand this. This is my prerequisites based on the Word of God. Because a little bit later here, and one thing I did mention that I believe myself to be a steward, but I don't want that to be, I don't want to be tipping my hat towards you to saying the next part is also applies to me because one part applies to me. I don't know what my latter end will be. I want to be like Paul. I judge not myself until he comes. So I don't know that just because I'm a steward, but I don't believe that I know like you don't know your end result? What's the finality of your ministry? I believe right now I'm called as a pastor. I don't know where and what things the Holy Spirit will be having me to do in the older, silver-haired years of my life when wisdom is supposed to be personified and the glory of the Holy Spirit is supposed to be walking in me to the max. I do know this. This is who I'm following after. His name is Jesus Christ. And these are the prerequisites that I put in my life concerning those who I follow. And many of you, and I'll tell you this, I count some of the wisdom that you guys give me as just pure gems from God. But later in this chapter, Paul does mention fathers. But what does he say here as concerning those who cover a ministry? He said this, I think that God has set forth us as apostles, which means an overseer or a covering, as it were to be, he said this, I skipped the one part that I wanted to say, verse 9, these are the two things that catch me, and they all always catch me about who I will follow. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last. Everybody say last, please. Last. Jesus is personified in last. Not first. Now he's going to name the requirements of an apostle or an overseer of any type of thing that God produces in the earth. Now I know by antiquity that things were happening that are not happening to men today or women today as in persecution. But that does not mean that the willingness of the heart to enter into the last, as in what Christ requires of every ministry that says, I will go to where you want me to go. If antiquity returns, like as in persecution, then these men's hearts and our hearts must be proven by this standard. Whether or not there's persecution where they come in, rake us over the coals, put us in prison, and do all these kinds of things to us, at least our hearts should personify this message. And this is the heart. Last, as it were, appointed unto death. In other words, Christ first, the people, as Christ has called me to minister, to lay down my life. These are the things. And these are the things that are the telltale signs that earmark any true fatherhood in the earth to me, according to Scripture. For we are made a spectacle. Listen to what Paul said. In fact, you know, I am definitely not wanting anyone to call me Apostle Bronk. In fact, everything in my flesh would wreathe to ever think about what Paul is talking about here. But nevertheless, look at this. He says, we, these overseers, we are fools for Christ's sakes. Oh, let me back up. We're appointed to death, made spectacles of the world and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sakes. I don't want to ever have a title that separates me from the body of Christ. And I don't care if somebody else, I'll call somebody Dr. So-and-so, and that's fine if they feel more comfortable with that or whatever. And some women, some men have earned, and that's fine. But you know what? I call him Lord and Master. Those are titles. But he's real comfortable with his given name, Jesus. And I don't have to say Dr. Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. I don't know if that'll go over on the website. Might better get that one, Kathy, out of there. We are fools for Christ's sake. Well, we're wise. We're fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you're strong. You're honorable. In other words, we've taught you, you've been presented, but this is what's behind the scenes. This is the warfare. This is the fight for him. I'm saying what Paul was saying, but we are despised. Even at this present hour, can you imagine this? Now, this man said this by the testimony of the Holy Ghost. He said, even unto this present hour, we are hungry. God doesn't want you hungry, but Paul was going into places where it was expendable, or it was necessary, rather, for him to go in and fight a warfare until he could claim his food in. Sometimes he was in jail, and they didn't feed him three squares. He says, we're hungry, we thirst, we're naked, we're buffeted, and we have no certain dwelling places. Uh-uh. No, I'm not asking for apostleship. He says this, for even this present, okay, we read that, and we labor. You know, you'd think to God that a man that gave his whole life, he should be paid by the ministry. In fact, he taught, in other words, in another place, he said, those who labor at the altar, they should be paid by the altar. In another place, he says that they be given double pay. In other words, bless them real good. But Paul said, look, even when there wasn't, I labored with my hands. It didn't matter to me. The gospel must go on. The show must go on. My lip won't get fat. I won't pout. Paul said, I will go forward. Working with our hands, being reviled, people cussing him out, defaming him, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer. Being defamed, we entreat it. We say, okay. We are made the filth of the earth, of the world. We are the offscouring of all things unto this day. And I, you know, Pastor Dave does this the best. He goes, what he was saying, offscouring, Satan hated those guys so bad because of their doctrinal proof and the foundation they were laying in the church. Offscouring, and Dave brings it out like this. He goes, any of you women that use, like, you clean the dishes, you may put them in the dishwasher, and yet you get them out and they're still not clean enough and there's still that scour on, or there's still something on there. He said, that is getting that scouring pad, and I can't do it like Dave, but it's a you're trying your best to remove all residue. And Paul was saying this, we are so hated by Satan that he's doing everything he possibly can to get the absolute residue of us apostles off planet Earth. Now that's a powerful ministry, isn't it? That's very, very powerful. He said, we're this offscouring of all things to this day, almost done. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, we can sit up. I mean, I don't know how many more people I'm going to meet. Some people are going to have some great, great things to me. You guys have given some great things to me. They have changed my ministries. I've pondered on them until God has said, listen to that. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to the revelation. You can have 10,000 instructors in Christ. In other words, you may sit across a coffee cup with 10,000 and they will give you their revelation. You'll say, wow, I never thought of it that way. He said, you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet, this is his wisdom, have not many fathers. In other words, don't be to the point, allow these prerequisites of what you see, what the Holy Ghost brings into your life. Fathers were those who bent the life. I mean, set it in directions and set it as a place where people would travel that direction for the rest of their life. But he didn't say, don't have fathers. I have three. It took me 51 years. Not talking about a physical father. I have a great physical father. I wouldn't trade him for the world. I have three spiritual fathers. And I didn't choose them. I didn't say, well, this day, I think it took me 51 years to decide. And one is my pastor. And two other belong to a close vicinity to him. But he says this. Where am I at again? If you guys want me to close, tell me where I'm at. 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, everybody said, oh, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, and Paul was really speaking this, he said, I've begotten you, I've laid this foundation for you. I've begotten you in the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be you followers of me. Now, this is a powerful statement. Paul said, you can follow me. Now, it's not wrong for a person to say that, but all the requirements before it. And I'll tell you, that's still a part of my life being changed over to Christ. For this cause I sent unto you Timotheus, whom is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Let me just stop right there because we only got four more verses, but let me just say this. When Paul said, I'm sending you Timotheus to you that he reminds you of my ways. After he said all this stuff about just releasing the church and go after, he was just saying, look, I will say this, I am your father, and I'm not saying that this morning to you. that takes you deciding whatever you decide as life goes on. And you may have more than just me, or you may have more and I might not be one of them. But Paul said this. He said, Timothy will remind you of my ways. Now, he didn't say Christ's ways. He said the way that I do things. In other words, Apollos may have had a way of doing it. Cephas may have had a way of doing it. I do a lot of things like my dad because I was raised by him. Paul was saying, look, the thumbprint of every father in the faith, no matter who you listen to, their thumbprint is going to be in your life. Their signature is going to be in your life. It's not wrong. You don't have to try to divorce yourself from it to prove that you're free. You just have to understand, is this guy following Christ? Is he following Christ? Because he said Timothy's going to come to you and he's going to remind you, this is the way, you remember, you know, when Paul was here, this is the way he likes to see, and this is the way that was done according, not to, because Paul just made it up. This is Paul's revelation. We're safe, aren't we? You are free. Hallelujah. Now he said, some are puffed up as though I'd not come, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. Ooh. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but it is in what? Power. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? All you verse 15 reminding people. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you just worship the Lord for His word? Just worship the Lord for His word before we go out of here today. He is so wonderful. He is so good. Hallelujah, Jesus. All things you give us. Hallelujah, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, I pray that they feel so liberated. And Lord, that they are so blessed. And that all things are ours. Every ministry on the planet Earth is ours. Everyone that speaks your word is ours. Lord, whatever you use, whatever you can use in our lives to take us to the next level. We are so hungry for you, Jesus. I speak life. I bless every home, every marriage, every single, every boy, every girl in the name of Jesus. I thank you that Immokalee is in revival. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You're dismissed.